Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings are not just for the young. Welcome to another evening with New Beginnings Ministry. We're here sitting around our dining room, our kitchen table. You've got Brother John and Sister Suzanne, and Brother Norman is with us. Yay! Brother Norman's sitting around here with us. So if you're at home or if you're driving and you're listening, if you're in the comfort of your bed, your warm, cozy bed, listening, have a cup of tea and join in the conversation. You don't have to be quiet. You can call in and speak to us by dialing 347-237-4054. Call in and join the conversation or listen, or you can join the conversation or listen online as well. We're on Facebook and Twitter, not Facebook Live. But if you have any comments, if you want to go online and reach us online, we're blogtalkradio.com. And just look for New Beginnings Ministry and enter We Can Begin Again. That distinguishes us from a few of the others. Thank you for joining us. If you're online and you're going to, I'd like you to please mute your phone. If you're on the telephone, please mute your phone until you're ready to speak. And when you want to say something, just unmute and join the conversation. Tonight we have a treat from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Miss Cassandra Ricks will be ministering to us tonight from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, and her topic is the anointing. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited about diving into this teaching. But before I move over and give the microphone to Miss Ricks, we want to make sure that we take a moment to pray for those on our prayer list. So if you all would just join me, if your line is unmuted, it has been unmuted, and you want to include someone, just put the name out there. Father God, we praise you and we thank you, dear Lord, for this time on this innovative technology of Blog Talk Radio and through the internet presence. We thank you for that, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that through this ministry, Father God, that we're reaching people that may be homebound, Father God, people who may be at work, people who otherwise may have difficulty getting the word, or, Father God, those people, Father God, out of convenience, Father God, and in need for ministry, Father God, look for opportunities with us. So we praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you, dear Lord, that you've called us, Father God, to be a resource, Father God, to other ministries, Father God, and to be a stepping stone, Father God, for those who are entering ministry as well, and for those to reach beyond their limited borders, Father God, beyond, Father God, their church, beyond their kitchen table like us, into the world, Father God, because your word tells us, dear Lord, that we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel, go out and share the good news. Father God, we lift up those in prayer, Father God, that need, that are seeking healing, Father God, health and wellness, Father God. We have several on our list, from Stuart to Jane and Diane to Kim to Elise, to Lisa and Patsy, to
Deborah, Julia, Alifa, Cornell,
Mrs. Thompson,
Mr.
Tamika Thorpe,
Norman.
Praise God. Keep on at the name. Call out their name. Beverly. We just pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We lift them up, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for every stripe of blood that was shed on Calvary, Father God, for each and every disease was covered by that blood.
Yes.
And, Father God, we just ask you, Lord, for healing, for redemption from pain, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for comfort, for peace, Father God, for a good night, rejuvenative night, Father God, for the doctors and the nurses to be inspired on how they should move and make decisions, Father God, on these people's behalf, Father God. And Father God, we even lift up their caretakers, Father God, and those that drive them and minister to them in other ways, in other tangible ways, Father God, that they would not be weary and well-doing, Father God, that they will be strengthened, Father God, and be encouraged.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, that everyone that comes in contact with them, dear Lord, will speak life to them.
Yes.
I also lift up Jenny and John in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Mrs.
Ricks, Mother Ricks, too. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom, Father God, to be about these folks. And they go into the medical facilities, Father God, seeking help.
Right.
And that everyone that comes in contact with them, dear Lord, will see that they have prayers that are going up, will feel a difference with their them in their presence, Father God, and be a blessing to them. Show favor to them, Lord, and speak life to them. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. Father God, we also thank you, dear Lord, for every household that's represented with this ministry, Father God. Those that are listening by telephone, those that are listening online, and even those, Father God, that will be listening with the archive, maybe days, maybe years from now, Father God, that they will be blessed by what they hear, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that their homes, Father God, will also be blessed. Yes. That there will be peace in their homes, Father God, by the listening of this word. Yes. In Jesus' sweet, sweet, sweet holy name. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Is that Sister Rick?
Yes, how are you?
Amen. Hi, how you doing? How you doing? Well,
thank you.
We have Miss Cassandra Ricks from Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and she's going to speak to us tonight, and her topic is the anointing. We're coming from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. If you want to turn to it right now, put your finger there, hold your spot. I want to tell you that Miss Ricks is a member of Trinity Baptist Church, and she is under the fine leadership of Reverend Jacqueline Williams. And we welcome you here tonight. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for this opportunity on tonight. We'll be talking about the anointing. And we'll be coming from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. And I'm going to read it from the King James Bible, okay? And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And 19 says, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen.
Amen.
Right, as we see here, we see God is, Jesus is doing the talking here. And Jesus is talking to, he's in Galilee, and he's teaching the way to salvation. He's teaching the disciples about salvation. And what he is doing here, he's talking about the anointing. And if you notice, the text is in red, so this is Jesus actually speaking here. And what it's saying is that he is explaining that the anointing has given him the supernatural power to preach the gospel to the poor. And he, meaning God, has sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty that are bruised. Okay, so what we're noticing about the text, and what we'll notice about a lot of the text that we read where Jesus is speaking, Jesus is talking in parables. And parables are stories which have great truth. And in order for us to be able to understand Jesus' teaching, he had to be teaching with the anointing. So in order for us to understand what the anointing is, we have to know what the anointing is. The anointing is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which is the Trinity, which is God the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And when Jesus died on the cross, he told the disciples that he was going to send them a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit, which is a part of God that is here, that is living and breathing on the inside of us.
Amen.
And the anointing, which, as I stated earlier, is the Holy Spirit. And the anointing is God. He's flowing through us, And this anointing is from the heart of God that flows through every believer to touch another person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit flows as a river of love. It's love. It's God pouring love out through the believer. He's pouring his love out through the believer, and it's coming from the throne of grace. It's coming from the heart of God to us so that we could love on those people and he could reach those people through the believer. And his anointing, it touches that person's heart, and it lets that person feel and begin to experience the things of God where they can begin to see and to hear and to comprehend the parables. And this love is so powerful. It is so powerful. And it's just something that just overwhelms you, and you can start to experience a peace like you never experienced before when you start to embrace that love, and you start to receive it and absorb it and just draw from it every day. It replenishes you. It replenishes your life, your physical man. It actually brings healing to your physical man, and it helps to replenish your life so that you can have a long life that God has promised us to them that believe. And through the heart of believers brings life to all that receive that touch, that receive that love. Now, before I go any further, I want to point out to you that it's two hearts. Everybody has two hearts. You have a physical heart that beats in your chest. And then we have a heart that is the center of our hidden emotions, intellect, moral activity. That's our brain, which is our mind. And God, when he sends that anointing, when he sends that Holy Spirit, what that Holy Spirit does is able to search our heart. And it's able to search our hearts to show us our errors and the things that we're grasping onto that are not of God, that we can begin to desire and want to have the things of God. And what it does, it renews our mind, because those hidden emotions and those intellects, those moral activity, those social learning things, that's all it is, things we learn from our social environment that have to be reprogrammed. And what God does is that he sends his anointing, he sends his love through people to reach you so he can get you to see and to understand those parables. And once you begin to understand those parables, something happens in your intellect. Your intellect changes, and it begins to see things in a different way, and the Bible begins to make sense to you. You can understand those hidden parables, and you can apply them to your life, because the transformation will never take place if you can't see. Because if we notice in the text, what it says is that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Recovering the sight of the blind, that's what he's doing. He's renewing your mind, because the God of this world had blinded our eyes, and we're lost from the original goal. The goal is for us to have fellowship with God, for us to have communion with God daily, for us to be walking a life that others will see that anointing on us and want to be around us. They'll want to know more about Jesus. They'll want to ask questions about Jesus. And they'll see how you respond in tight situations, and they'll say, wow, how did that person do that? And that'll be your opportunity, your door to talk to them about, well, I've been spending time with God, and God's been teaching me, and he speaks to me, and he warns me before things happen to try to prepare myself for how I need to react. And if I listen long enough, he will tell me how to respond to that particular situation, and that way I won't be out of my character. And as long as I walk and talk with him all day, he will talk back to me, and he will tell me what I need to do. And any time that I'm out of order and I'm going too far to the left, he will prick my heart to let me know you're out of order. What you done was wrong. How you treated that person or how you responded was wrong. Go back and apologize. He will let you know when you're out of order. So the Holy Spirit that God has given us, that anointing, that is for us to be able to minister to other people, for God to pour his love in us, saturate us with love so much that we're dripping like a sponge that we can go and share with somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
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 He said rivers of living waters should flow from us. So that means we're going to have so much of this anointing, so much of this love in us, that we should be able to share, and it should rub off on somebody else.
Amen.
A sponge. Now, if you're using a sponge to wash something, or to clean it, when you put that sponge in the water, when you lift that sponge up, that sponge got water dripping everywhere. You got to constantly wring it out. I don't care how many times you squeeze that sponge, it's still something in there. But every so often, that sponge needs to be dipped back into that well so it can be replenished again. Amen? And as I tell a lot of the new believers that I come in contact with, I tell them you have to interact with God throughout the day. You have to interact with him all the time, because if you don't, you'll be just like a fish out of water. When you're changing the water in your fish tank, you only have a few seconds to get that fish and another thing of water when you get them out of the net. Because if you leave them over there 5 or 10 minutes, that fish is dead.
Amen.
And that's how
that's
we
true.
Die spiritually. That is how we die spiritually, when we do not contact with God. And we can't fight when warfare come and opposition come and those things happen to us. We don't have any arsenals. We can't even use our weapons because we're not even recharged to fight. So we have to be dipped. We have to be stirred every day, constantly interacting with the Holy Spirit in order for our anointing to be overflowing, in order for our anointing to grow. So now that I've pointed out that there are two hearts, that we have a beating heart that's in our chest, and we have the heart with our hidden emotions, then we'll move on a little further with the scriptures, okay? With the studies. So we know that the anointing is given to preach the gospel to the poor. The anointing is given to heal and restore people. The anointing is given to proclaim freedom to the captive. The anointing is given to open blind eyes. The anointing is given to set people free. And the anointing flowing in God's timing and proclaiming God's timing. Okay? The anointing flows in God's timing and is proclaiming God's timing. Amen?
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the anointing is given to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring the revelation of God's love to those who are seeking. God's anointing flows to those who are hungry for a touch from his Holy Spirit. It's not our spirit. It's his spirit. The anointing has less to do with the person that it flows through than it does to the person who receives it, the one who sees it, God Almighty. Okay, I'm going to read that again. The anointing has less to do with the person that it flows through than it does with the person who receives it and the one who sent it. Because you are a vessel. You're a walking vessel. You're being used by God at any time. Amen? And the whole multitude, in Luke chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went from him and healed them all. verse 20, it says, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And then in Matthew 5 and 13, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The term poor here is a Greek word which carries the implication of being a beggar. In this case, a spiritual beggar hungry for the Spirit of God. Amen? Well, these people, they were touching the hem of his garment, and power went out of him. And I don't know if anybody know, but before what happened in Luke 4, you know, Jesus was fasting. So he had to get recharged in order to, well, he had to get empowered, not recharged. He had to be empowered by the Spirit from on high in order for him to come back and be able to preach this. So people were touching him, and his anointing was leaving. They felt he feels the power leaving him, okay? The anointing can be sifted if people refuse to receive it from the person God is sending it through. And the things that keep that person from receiving what God is trying to give us, it could be pride, it could be envy, it could be bitterness, it could be unforgiveness. Any of that stuff can prevent the person from receiving or receiving what God is trying to give them through that person that he sent with the anointing. So we got to be real careful, you know, and the people that we're interacting with, when they don't want to receive what we have, you know, what God has given us to bless them with, when they don't want to receive it, we have to just go about it quietly, and we have to pray. We have to pray and keep lifting that person up and pray those spirits off of them. And another scripture that stood out that was brought to my attention was in Matthew chapter 13, verses 57 through 58. And it says, so they were offered at him. Oh, they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do anything. He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So we're going to run into these situations, but we have to pray for them. We have to ask God to deliver them, and we have to move along quietly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 10 is another example, 13 through 14, and it says, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or the city, shake the dust off your feet. So you're leaving quietly, right?
Amen.
Amen. Because you did what God sent you to do. You were obedient. You did what God sent you to do. Now it's up to that person to receive it. And we also was pointing out that the second thing we were going to point out was the anointing is given to heal and restore people. Okay, now the verse for that I was reading up on was in Acts 10, verse 36 through 38, and it says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, it says John the Baptist preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. with that supernatural power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So everyone knows that if you don't have the anointing and you don't have God with you, you won't be able to handle certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not anointed to do these things, you're not walking with God, you don't go and say, I can do this. You better make sure that you're hearing from God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because it's one of the scriptures in here where it talks about, he says, Jesus, I know. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it talks about Jesus, I know, but who are you? So you make sure you know you are hearing from God, and that you're studying when you can speak to those situations, and
that's
you're
right.
dealing with these demonic forces and things. So that's all
that's
these
right.
demonic influences. So the next point was on point three, and the next point we're going to talk about is the anointing is given to proclaim freedom to the captive. And the scripture for that I found was in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. And it says, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are oppositions. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Amen? So when you're dealing with people that are bathed in Christ or who does not know our Lord and Savior, we have to be patient. And just like I said, you know, they don't want to receive what God has sent you to do. Do not get in an argument with them. Don't be quarrelsome. Be gentle with them, because they will you know, they will say, well, you're supposed to be saved. How are you arguing with me about this? And how are you getting upset when I'm trying to talk to you, and you're supposed to be representing Jesus, and you done got all heated and all upset, you know. So you got to be mindful of that and know that you have to be gentle and able to teach and having patience and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And correcting those are like, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're walking in leadership role. So when you're correcting people, you got to make sure that you're doing Christ-like behavior in front of them. If you're correcting them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Because
you might be in a snare yourself, you know, and then you're correcting them, and then that person will be glad to tell you, well, that you don't do, I saw you do this, and I saw you doing this the other day, and all this other stuff. You know, so you're discrediting Christ. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the fourth point was the anointing is given to open blind eyes. The scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest in the sight of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So that's that anointing that we're talking about again, shining on them to open their eyes because of that social learning. You know, what they saw grandma do, what they saw cousin so-and-so do, or aunt, or whatever, or what they saw at school, what they saw their friends do, and maybe some friends, parents, or other people that were not Christians or not true believers of the gospel, what they saw them doing, they picked up those learned behaviors and adapted them themselves. Amen? So when you're sharing the gospel and the anointing comes, the anointing is to open blind eyes so these people can see. They can see what God is telling them and how God is and what God has for them. It's much better than this world. Anybody want to share?
What was the last scripture? You said 2 Corinthians 4, what?
Verses 3 through 4.
Okay,
verses
thank you.
Three. Yeah, about the blind eyes. Give me 1 second because my phone is dying. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Any comments?
Any comments, any questions? All right.
God bless you.
All right.
Oh, go ahead, somebody.
Okay. Did somebody say something? I'm sorry.
I started to say something. I thought somebody was speaking. God bless you, Minister. This is very good. I like this subject.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much. You said so much in this. And just thinking about the scripture itself, Jesus is talking about himself right there, and then he's telling us what we could do. You know what my mind went to was how Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them that he's going to go away. And him going away, he said, my Father will send a – I'm asking my Father to send a comforter, and it will be him, Holy Spirit, that he's going to send. And what I was thinking about was that in this scripture, Jesus did everything because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, him, because he has anointed me, him, to preach the gospel. So, and all this that is entailed in that scripture. And I was thinking about how Jesus said he's going. Jesus did all this already. So when he went, when he left, he went and sat down next to the Father. So then he said that, you know, he did all that, and he sent in the comforter for us, the anointing for us, so we now can do what he's done. But he also said that now you don't have to come to me. You can go directly to the Father and ask anything in my name. And
sister.
And it will. So with that, he's saying, now I'm passing the baton to you. Now you are enabled to preach the gospel to the blind, to the, everyone else. And you can now use the anointing who the Father has now sent to you. The anointing is to empower us. The anointing destroys yokes. Who is the Father? The anointing, it's all about like what you were saying. The anointing is our intangible part that works for us. He works for us. And what I was thinking also, I know I'm going off into a tangent, but what I also was thinking, because you said a lot of things here, what I also was thinking when I was trying to write down the different things that you were saying about the anointing is that the anointing, which is him, Holy Spirit, in Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, like you were saying, if you don't have to argue with anybody about, you know, giving them the word and whatnot, you don't have to argue, you don't have to go back and forth with anybody. So, Holy Spirit, is the fruit of that of His Spirit is teaching us to be that long suffering, right?
Amen.
Be long-suffering when we're talking to people. But if I'm off all over the place, but if people don't want to receive, we don't have to cast our treasure, our pearls before the swine. We can
Amen.
Do like, you know, wipe the dust off our feet, because if people want to hear the word, we don't have to force the word on anybody. We are to present the word. We're to present the word. And if the word, they don't want to receive it, then that's their choice. Then we can just keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Like you said, mm-hmm. pray for them and keep it moving. But I just wanted to just point out that Him, Holy Spirit, is in us. He's in mm-hmm. us for us to do great and mighty things. The Lord said, "We'll
Amen.
Do these things and more." So
mm-hmm.
with that,
mm-hmm.
He's already done this. He's already preached and did all this that it says in verse 18, and then He sat down. Now He passed the baton to us so we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Amen.
We can do this
Amen.
And set the captives free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I'm
very well said. You know, when you were talking, and I was thinking about also when you're talking about the gentleness and the patience, I just look at it as the same grace that God gives us,
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to give it to other people.
Right. And we do have it because
mm-hmm.
Him, Holy
yep.
Spirit, is in to
yep.
do it.
And we have to be able to give it to other people. We have to give people grace because
mm-hmm.
if we don't, then God won't show us grace. What we do for others, God is going to turn around in turn and do for us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Just we pray for other people.
Mm-hmm.
What we pray for them, God turn around and give it to us. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So we left off on opening the blind eyes, and I have another scripture for that. It's on
mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, and it says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich,
mm-hmm.
and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see."
Mm-hmm.
And what God is just telling us is that I counsel you to buy my gold refined in the fire. So he's asking us to buy into his plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's saying that we will be rich. We'll be rich spiritually. We'll be rich with a white garment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
That we may be clothed and that the shame of our nakedness may not be revealed. That is so awesome to me. That is just so awesome to me. He loved me just that much.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just that much that he's willing to anoint my eyes with this eye salve so that I can see, that I can see the things that he want me to see,
mm-hmm.
and I can do the things that he want me to do. And walking
mm-hmm.
in this anointing, the anointing is given so people can be set free. That's setting me free. That's setting me, you, all of us, free from bondage.
Amen.
Amen.
From bondage, because if we're letting our heart that's in our chest motivate us and move us, we accumulate debt. We work on jobs that God didn't send us to go to.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of things that rob us of our peace. Because we're trying to satisfy the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not listening to our spiritual heart.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's right.
And we're letting our heart and our chest drive us to be in bondage. And God don't want us in bondage.
Mm-mm.
He wants us to be free. He don't want us to be worried up. And all this other stuff that we be taking ourselves through. I call it unnecessary drama.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be free, and he want to teach us how to be free. He want to teach us how to move, how to live, and how to breathe in him, and just how to enjoy Jesus every day. He want to
mm-hmm.
teach us that. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah, the scripture for the anointing is given to set people free. He said, Isaiah 10 and 27, "It shall come to pass in the day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders
mm-hmm.
and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." And John 8 and 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then the sixth point I had up here was the anointing flows in God's timing. and also proclaims God's timing, which is in Ephesians. I got a scripture, Ephesians 2-10, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As we walk in the anointing of God, we go where God wills and do God's will and say what God wills. Amen? So we walking and talking and doing what he wants us to do in his time, and that's how we operate through the Holy Spirit, because we're being obedient, we're listening, and we're at the right place at the right time to say exactly what he needs us to say. Amen?
Amen. I like
and
that.
John 8:28, it says, Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing for myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Amen. So that's how we're in God's timing. That's how we're in God's timing. And just as, who was your name, man, that spoke earlier? You were talking about, oh my goodness, help me, Holy Ghost, with the thought. You were saying that, you were just, you just got finished saying this about it was relating to God's timing.
Who's that, me?
Yes, it was you. You were just saying something. Let me
go to the archives.
No, I'm
only
kidding. That I do nothing. Well, what Jesus is saying is that he's not functioning on his own. He's functioning because his Father sent him, and he's being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's God sent him to do these things, okay?
Yes, amen.
All right. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. That's one of our many gifts that we can have from God. We have other gifts that God gives us. Amen?
Amen.
And the anointing also gives us wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
1 John chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "But we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things."
Mm-hmm.
We have anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Holy Spirit knows all things because the Holy Spirit searches. Man looks on the outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But God looks at the hidden emotions. He searches our heart to reward our conduct. So if nothing that man can hide from the Holy Spirit. Nothing man can hide from the Holy Spirit. He can. People can tell you anything out of their mouth. But when you connected with God, the Holy Spirit will let you know what's really going on.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm.
He will always let you know. You are never blinded when you're connected with the Holy Spirit. He knows everything.
I like that. I like that scripture you just quoted from Isaiah, wasn't it 10:27?
Yeah.
When you said the anointing destroys the yoke,
mm-hmm.
How could you? It is our power. It's the force behind the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
When you have the anointing on you, there's a charisma of God upon you. You
mm-hmm.
have the a right speech. You have everything as fit for the occasion when you're under the anointing.
Amen. Amen.
I wouldn't want anyone to pray with me that was not under the anointing.
Amen.
The anointing.
Amen. And also, I have any more comments or questions?
No.
But
you can finish. Yes.
Yeah, I have You say something?
Mm-mm.
I got 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, and it says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and
it's
just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Amen.
Amen.
That anointing, that wisdom that the anointing gives us, is going to teach us. He's going to walk
yes.
with us. He's going to talk with us. He's never going to leave us. He's always going to be with us, and he's going to be there to guide us through all things. He's going to teach us truth. He's going to tell us everything we need to know as long as we're connected to him. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? It's not like we don't have teachers or mentors or those listening to godly counseling. But I know this for myself as far as my experience with Him, Holy Spirit, is that there's a lot of things in prayer and in study. The Father has revealed a lot of things to me. And then
Amen.
I would hear a preacher preach it or a sister or a brother speak it, and I say, "Wow, Lord, you told me that." So that was just a witness, because nobody has any private interpretation of God. But
mm-hmm.
when we are all in the same vein, in the same mind, what mm-hmm. God reveals to me privately, he will
yes.
he then show me or reveal it openly, you know,
Amen.
From someone or someone is just speaking to me, and I say, "Wow, I got that same thing, but nobody taught me."
Amen.
He showed it. Mm-hmm.
It was
awesome. Isn't that awesome? And when you get that illumination, that is that. I just get
he
so
tells
excited.
Us, he tells us in Mark 16:20
mm-hmm.
that he confirms this with signs following.
Yes.
He confirms his word with signs following.
Amen.
And that's what he did. He confirmed his word to you with signs following, letting
mm-hmm.
you know, "It's me. You're on the right track. Stay
Hallelujah.
Stay on your knees."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's
yes,
good.
Hallelujah. I just get so excited. I just get so excited because it's nothing that we could have done on the face of this earth for us to have a God that's just that good to us, that
oh,
care
hallelujah.
That much for us.
Yeah.
I get excited because it's nothing,
yeah.
nothing we could have done for God to
hallelujah.
Be that good to us.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because he is just so worthy. He is so worthy to be praised. He is just so
yes.
worthy. He is so
yes.
worthy.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
So now, as you were speaking, Minister, in verse 18, how the Spirit of the Lord is now upon us,
mm-hmm.
he's on us. Now it's our acceptable time to preach the ear
yes.
of the Lord.
Yes.
So we have
yes.
to go now. Jesus
oh,
already
hallelujah.
Said he already did it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He did that. He did that and went down. He did everything that we was possible from generation. He did everything.
Yeah,
so
right.
he way, and now we're to do what he's done. And
yeah,
now we're
he
now
it.
We're supposed to preach the year of the Lord.
Yeah, and just like the Holy Spirit just brought it back to me. You said that he's already walked and shown the disciples.
Yes, he's done it.
Well, he's passed the baton.
Yes, he did.
And he calls us all ambassadors for Christ.
Yes.
And what
yes.
does an ambassador do?
Yes.
Go to an unfamiliar land.
And we represent.
And represent,
mm-hmm.
help
mm-hmm.
people get in to where they're trying to go.
Yes.
Yes.
Those that want to
Hallelujah.
Receive.
Hallelujah.
Those that want to
Amen.
Receive. And those people that want to go, they come find that ambassador and they talk to him. And they say, well, what do I need to do?
Yes.
What do
true.
I have to have?
Yes.
And they go out and they get their stuff and they come back. And they're ready for the next piece, for the next piece, for the next piece. And they just keep going on and on and on.
Amen.
I wanted to mention that we cannot do anything unless we do it and we're guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit knows the Spirit. So the Spirit that we have in us, that we're going out to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim in the year of the gospel, when we're going forth out to proclaim the gospel. No one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit that's within us. God is the key from the Spirit to the Spirit that's within us. So when we're communicating with others, it's almost like we're awakening the Spirit that's within them. God is operating.
Yes.
God is creating. Yes. All we can do is just be vessels, as we spoke of before. All we can do is just speak what God has us to speak, proclaim the word, and God does the rest. And that's the Spirit. That's the Holy
Amen.
Spirit begins
Amen.
To operate internally in each and every
Preach,
one of us.
Preach, brother.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I just wanted to see it in it.
Also, I would add in when we think of Luke, we're speaking of Matthew, Mark, Luke, which is the gospel. And being Christian is what the gospel is speaking of, spreading the good news. And 18, 4, 18, and 19 are clear examples of us being in relationship with God and actually a recovery of sight for the blind and freedom of prisoners, looking out for people, but doing God's work, being vessels of God, being Christians, being Christ-like. We have to be careful about how we carry ourselves, how we talk to people, because we're spreading the gospel, not by just what we say, but also by what we do or what we don't do. You can turn people to Christ, you can turn people away from Christ. Based on your actions, you have to be very careful.
Amen.
We're teachers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what I was thinking about when you were saying, Elder John, is about how we're the vessels awakening those others. I was thinking about how spirit to spirit knows, and God knows the right timing for everything, and everyone wants to receive him. And my mind went to Mary and Elizabeth. And how the baby leaped in Elizabeth when the spirit, when Jesus, when she, her, Mary carrying Jesus, and when she was speaking, when they had that conversation, the baby in Elizabeth leaped spirit to spirit. So I'm saying all that to say that when that individual is ready to hear the word of God, what they're going to do is an awakening will come in them when they hear that
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Because we're going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And
yes.
when we do, and they something ignites in them, then they say, oh, okay, I want more. What else? What else?
Mm-hmm.
I want more.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. When you talked about when Mary and Elizabeth was together, in my mind, I want to say Jesus anointed John to be the forerunner right then.
Yes,
oh,
he did. Yes, yes.
I want to say that in my mind. Jesus anointed John right then.
Amen. And you know what I was thinking about the other day? And I know we're going off into a tangent. What I was thinking about the other day is now John is going, now there is a second coming of Christ. So now we are the forerunners.
Amen.
We ought to go out there in the wilderness and preach to accept.
Amen.
Tell me, how did you feel when you came out the wilderness?
Amen. You know what? we're closing in just a few seconds. Sister Ricks, do you have any parting words for us?
You want me to just close out in prayer?
Yes, please.
Okay, all right. Father God, we just come before you to thank you for this opportunity to fellowship, to study your word, God. Thank you for empowering us again and giving us more strength that we may go out, Lord God, and continue to be the ambassadors that you have called us to be, Father. Lord God, I just ask you to bless New Beginnings Ministry. They will continue to reach people all over the world, Lord God. And I just thank you and I praise you, God. And I just thank you for equipping us and empowering us on the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you all for joining us this evening on New Beginnings Ministry, with New Beginnings Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. We hope that you'll join us again next week. Tell your friends. Send out the message on Facebook. If you would repost our message on Facebook, go to New Beginnings on Facebook, and you can cut and paste, not cut and paste it, but share it to your Facebook page. Share it with your circle, with your messenger, and text messages as well. Thank you for joining us, and we will be here again next week on Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
God bless.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Amen.
God bless.
We love you.
In a crowded room.